Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I am the best-selling author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And this is Sell or Die. No bullshit, no manipulation, no tricks, just how to make sales in the real world.
We are interviewing the best minds on selling and personal development, and we're doing it live. Why live? Because you make sales calls live. That's the only way that it's done.
And we're taking your sales questions live. Reply right here on Facebook, or if you're listening to our podcast feed, email them to sellordie@gittimer.com.
So, Doug, what's going on there? Our best guy here, our Mr. Producer guy, Doug Branson.
Yeah, guy behind the glass.
The man behind the glass, Doug Branson.
The disembodied voice.
As long as you're not disenfranchised, you're okay.
All right. Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. A reminder to our listeners, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search Sell or Die on iTunes or on Stitcher, on Google Play. We are everywhere.
We're on Stitcher and Google Play?
We're on everywhere. If you have an
Android.
Way to go. Yeah, so just search Sell or Die.
Stitcher, by the way, if you don't know Stitcher, it's for people that just got out of the hospital. Operation.
All right. And while you're there, if you're on iTunes, make sure to give us a 5-star review. It helps other salespeople just like yourself find this podcast, helps us move up the rankings. So we really appreciate it. Jeffrey, Jennifer, what's going on in your sales world?
Jenny, what are you doing this week?
All right. So I'm interviewing people because I'm trying to hire 2 salespeople. Mm-hmm. And today I receive
a
resume. Any
geographic qualifications?
New York or Charlotte?
Right.
Okay. New York or Charlotte, in case you're listening
Not
and you want to sell
York.
Here.
New York City.
Or
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Preferably near downtown because the office is at 26 Broadway. Or yeah. Charlotte, North Carolina. Now it's South Carolina. I know you guys are close. Charlotte.
North Carolina.
Okay. North Carolina. So I'm interviewing and I'm looking at this resume today and I'm told this is like one of the best resumes. And the first paragraph had 6 typos. I mean, there is spelled there, like not T-H-E-I-R, but T-H-E-R-E. Seriously? Okay, so if you're sending out a resume to anybody, send it to the smartest person you know first and ask them to look it over.
That's a great idea.
It's like, I literally took the piece of paper and I said, out. I mean, you can't represent me. You can't represent Jeffrey if you can't spell.
In my sales world.
Yeah, what's going on with you, Jeffrey?
Well, we just came back from Cuba.
We did.
And Cuba is arguably one of the coolest places I have ever traveled to in my life. It's happy and sad. The salespeople abound in Havana, but many of them, unfortunately, are sort of beaten down from the government, 50 years of communist rule. Hopefully, it'll change. If you want to know how great Cuba is, you have to go to Miami and see how the Cubans who have escaped have started business and are the hardest working people in literally that I've ever seen. And my sales world was turned upside down when I saw what the opportunity was there that's not being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hopeful that that might change over the course of the next decade.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at in my sales world.
I think it will. So coming up.
Coming up. Oh. You mean what's coming up on the show?
What's coming up on the show? Our listeners want to know.
No, we're calling it After Aha. What do you do after you've had this great idea? How do you implement that idea and turn it into money?
And we have marketing experts, Joe Apfelbaum and Natalie Kathleen. They're joining us with helpful tips and words of caution to get you ready to turn your brilliant idea into a bankable reality.
So let's get ready to sell or die.
Today's show is titled After Aha. Aha is that special magical moment when you have a great transformative money-making idea. But what comes after is often confusing, scary, and it can take your idea from transformative to trash. So, Jeffrey, why is it so difficult to go from aha to actually following through with an idea?
Three things. Number one, confirmation from others that your idea is good. Number two, money to be able to make your idea a reality, because most people need some money to be able to make it a reality. And the third is balls. If you have confirmation, a few bucks, and some balls, you can begin the process of starting.
But don't you think there have been people out there who have wanted to start a business and other people have told them, no, that's a terrible idea. Don't do that. Don't do that. And they've done it anyway.
Yeah, but that's...
And they've made it amazing.
Consider the source. I always look at people and I say, look, if you're telling me I'm bad and you're not in the same position that I'm in, I'm going to discount that straight away. I don't dig it. I'm not going to believe it, but I'm going to try with my idea to go to people that are better than I am.
Okay.
That have more wisdom than I do, a mentor.
Okay, so that's key, is finding the right people to even ask.
Or bounce it off of.
Mm-hmm.
And ask people for their honest opinion. Sometimes you do have a shit idea. I mean, sometimes your idea
Let's speak for yourself, okay?
Okay, cool. Okay. But sometimes your idea is stupid. Now, the question of what do you do after you get an idea is put some kind of action plan into place and ask yourself the questions of what do I do first, next, next, next.
That's where a lot of people get stuck.
Well, let's look at it from your perspective. Didn't you start your own business?
I did.
Okay. And what did you do? What was the first thing you did? Did you ask for help? Did you ask for money?
I did.
Yeah. And so you got help and money.
I did. I bounced my idea off of people who I respected. And in fact, I did have crappy ideas. I'll mm-hmm. admit it. I had about 25 of them that my advisors, who I chose, all said, no, 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 don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I came up with this business idea 3 years ago. And they said, yeah, that's it. And I knew it was it. I felt it. But they also knew it was it, and that gave me the confidence I needed to move forward.
So let me give you a grassroots thing. One of our customers, one of my customers, is a guy named Joey Osborne from the Mosquito Authority. And he got this far-fetched idea from somebody who had a bunch of mosquitoes in their backyard and thought that he could help by eliminating them. He saw somebody else do it. He goes, I can do this better than that. So he goes out and gets all the stuff. And he starts to recruit customers, and lo and behold, people started to buy from him. So he was an absolute, he literally put his idea into action on it by his own actions. Not some far-fetched plan where he made a business plan and put a lot of zeros to it. Like, this guy went out and killed mosquitoes. And after about his 50th customer, he said, I have a business here. I can franchise this. So we got a few hundred customers, did the math. Sold the first couple of franchises, and now there are hundreds of franchises, and the Mosquito Authority is rocking and rolling because the founder had an idea, implemented the idea himself, turned those figures into real dollars, money, and then documented it in a way that he could sell it to others. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the best way. Do it yourself.
Do it yourself first.
Right. Guys, yeah. People get into business now. Tech guys get into business and they can't sell. And no, that's not how it works. You're not going to hire a sales guy to get you to freedom.
Well, they're not going to respect you if you can't sell, and they can sell your own product better than you can.
Right. So you have to be an out front person. That's the balls part. You have to have the balls to be able to make it work. And you can look at all the people that are doing this, you know, Max Altshuler, who has Sales Hacker, is basically trying to get people to have the guts to go out and make sales, to get techie people to go out and make sales.
Having the balls to do it comes from having the confidence to do it. You can't have the balls and the guts to go out there and make something happen
right.
if you don't believe
your belief
in it
system
yourself.
Has to be deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. If your belief system's not deep, and you get that belief system by running the idea through other people, and they say, wow, it's a great idea. That builds your confidence. The more you talk about it, the more confidence you'll build.
Okay, so let's talk about one thing. What do you do the minute you get an idea?
I document it.
How?
I write it somewhere. I text myself. I put it in a Microsoft.
I see you do this all the time, and I've started adopting this, so I love it.
I text myself all kinds of ideas. I texted myself 5 times today already.
And you then you put it into, you transform it on paper.
If you want to know what text I've written today to myself, let me share with you right now that it's none of your business. But I did text myself.
Okay, so maybe later we'll talk about mistakes people make when they're starting a business and trying to transform
How to avoid those mistakes?
Yeah, how to avoid those mistakes.
Or we'll talk about what else Jeffrey's texting.
Right,
well,
exactly.
I don't know about that.
wait a second.
Commercial.
All of a sudden, producer is funny guy. I like
He's always funny.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, a lot of this discussion boils down to one desire, and that's achievement. It's not good enough to have a great idea. You have to achieve something because of it. But there's one thing you have to do in order to achieve any of your goals. And here's a word of wisdom from the Gittimer Learning Academy.
Oh, my goodness. Tons and tons and even more tons have been written about setting and achieving goals. Almost nothing has been written about intentions. Intentions are the foundation for goal achievement. Intentions are the power behind goal achievement. Intentions create both resolve and desire. The resolve and desire to achieve. What are your intentions? When you get your sales plan or sales quota, do you intend to achieve it? Or are you defeated the moment you look at it? Once you decide to be more deliberate in what you intend to do, the plans become easier. The actions come easier. The success becomes self-evident. Once you intend, you achieve. Now, here's the caution. Intention is a very subtle thought, and maybe a new one for you. To understand it better, look at it as determination or drive or focus, or even just making a plan for success. But unless you actually define intention both in your mind and on paper, it may not become a habit. The habit of intention creates the atmosphere of achievement, your achievement.
If you want to set your intentions on achievement, your first step should be to sign up for the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's revolutionizing sales training and doubling people's income. Visit GittimerLearningAcademy.com for information about how to set up your free demo.
That is an amazing truth, and thank you for sharing it.
You know, a lot of people are trying to achieve more now with New Year's resolutions coming into play, and the first thing they should do is go to the Gittimer Learning
Academy. The second thing they should do is call me in February when some of the resolutions that you've made are in the shitter.
Okay, so here's the deal. We're live right now on Facebook.
Ooh.
Yep. So are we live on both our pages? We're live on Jeffrey Gittimer's page, so make sure to send us your comments and questions right now to Jeffrey's page.
If you have them, we'll discuss them.
We will. And we want to know where you're listening from or watching from, so send that in, too.
So if you're from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, we want to know about it. All right. Now, we're not done talking about what to do after the aha. We have brought in some certified experts of people who have had ahas and turned them into money. Coming up with some great ideas and following through on them. First up, he's been on the show before. You know him, you love him. He's the motivated guy on the planet, the great Joe Applebaum.
So live from Brooklyn, New York.
No, from Charlotte, North Carolina.
We're in Charlotte.
Mojo Nation.
The Mojo Nation. We're from the Charlotte Nation, which goes all the way to Gastonia. We've decided to go clear to Brooklyn and bring you the great Joe Applebaum and try to put together a concept that will be near and dear to your wallet. Because often you get an idea and you don't know what to do with it, or you sit on it, or you said after someone else comes out and absolutely crushes a market, I thought about that 5 years ago. But you didn't do jack. And for those of you not from Philly, jack is a half of a word. And now you have this opportunity to hear the great Joe Applebaum, and he's going to tell you what to do after you get the idea. Like, the idea is one thing. Banking the idea, that's a whole other thing.
Talk to us, Joe.
Yeah, Joe. Oh, Joe, by the way, CEO, founder, Ajax Union, Brooklyn, New York, digital marketing agency, one of the Inc. 500 companies, and rocking and rolling.
And just if I had to do one word to describe him and his company, I would say amazing!
Thank you very much, Jeffrey. I'm so glad that I can be here at the show doing the podcast with you. They say that if you're called to do a podcast a second time, it's either because you were so good the first time around that they want you to come do it again, right. Or...
Someone canceled.
Or someone canceled.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you a secret, but don't let it get to your head. After you left our show, our notes, our podcast notes every time since then have said, have Joe energy.
Have Joe energy.
Oh, yeah.
So you just launched a product. You just launched a service. You just had a really great idea. Now, a lot of entrepreneurs, they come to me and they say, oh, Joe, I have this idea. And you know what I tell people?
No.
Besides no, I
no,
tell
I said
them,
no, I don't know what you tell people.
No, I'm like, oh, no, we're not doing the idea.
No.
What I tell people is your idea is worthless. Your idea is completely worthless. Doesn't matter what your idea is. Doesn't matter how great your idea is. If you don't execute on your idea is worthless. There are millions and millions and millions of unread books in the cemetery. There are billions of ideas floating around, but people don't have the courage to execute. So the first thing is your idea is worthless unless you execute. But how do you execute an idea? You have an idea and it's time to launch the idea. It's time to get started. You want to ask me because I'm an activator. I'm a person that knows how to get started when people don't get started.
Aren't you a motivator?
I'm a motivator, but there's...
Motivator, activator.
Carbonator.
Instigator.
Oh, right. Boy. Okay, but so how do you do it? How do you activate?
So how do you activate? So the first thing you want to do is you want to figure out who your audience is. That's step number one. Figuring out who you're talking to.
In other words, you have this idea, but who's going to buy it?
Who's going to buy
it? Who will monetize it?
Who are the people that you're going to potentially sell this idea? Because you don't know if you're going to be able to sell this product, this service, this idea to. Who is your audience? So, for example, if you have people in the South, like in Charlotte that you're talking to, you're going to want to use one type of language. If you have people on the West, you're going to want to use a completely different type of language. If you're talking to people in Brooklyn, you're like, yo, come here. I'm talking to you because we're from Brooklyn. You know what I mean?
What?
Right? Yeah. That's a whole nother language exactly. That you're going to be speaking.
Yeah. Charlotte, we speak fluent grits. You want grits with that?
They're not that good, by the way.
Yeah, I know. They're horrible.
Who likes grits?
Yeah.
Sorry if you do.
So you really have to first identify who your audience is, who you're talking to. The number two is after you figure out who your audience is, you want to make sure that you're not just going to go out there and just do social media. A lot of people are like, oh, I have this idea. Let me just put it on social media. Let me just do social media. Let's just do SEO. Let me just spend some money or spend some time, effort, and energy.
Get some Google AdWords going.
Before you do any Google AdWords, before you do any of that stuff, what you want to do is you want to make sure that you have a concrete goal. You have something specific that you're going to measure whether you're successful or not. Too many people go out there with this idea, this general thing, and they don't have a metric for success. They don't say, by this and this date, I need to sell X amount of this product or X amount of this service and make X amount of dollars. They're like, I just want to do as much as possible. I've done seminars to over 10,000 business owners over the past 5 years. And every single time I ask a business owner, what is your goal? How many sales do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? You know what they say? They say as much as possible, more than all.
Or as soon as
more
possible.
More than that.
Yeah. More than that. So how big do you want your idea to be? How much money can you make off this idea? What does success look like? If you can measure success, if you don't know what success looks like, if you don't know where you're going.
It's not going to get there.
It's not going to get there. Or you might get somewhere else.
Yeah.
Who knows where that's going to be? So number two is you have to be able to have a concrete goal. So number one is make sure you know your audience. Number two is have a concrete goal. And number three is realize that marketing is about testing. Marketing, the definition of marketing is to test, to go out to the market and to try to see if you have a market for this. Because you don't know if your idea is going to work. I remember that when we launched our business, Ajax Union, our first year we were kind of like, dabbling in many different things, and we weren't getting the business off the ground. We were kind of just doing everything to everybody. And I sat with my partner at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I came up with this brilliant plan called the Anubi Plan. We're going to offer articles, blogs, classified ads, directories to small business owners for a very small fee. And my partner's like, who's going to want to pay for blogging? Who's going to want to do that? Sounds like a terrible idea. And he was the perfect devil's advocate for me because every idea that I had, and trust me, I had like 20 a day, he would basically say, no, this idea is a bad idea. And I said, how can I prove to you that this idea is going to be a good idea? He's like, bring me 5 customers before the end of the month, and we will launch with this. We will go full tilt boogie on this next year in 2009. And what happened was, I called up 5 people, and they said, yes, this is a great idea. I want to put my money, I want to pay you for this, I want to prepay you for this. And before you knew it, we had over 1,000 customers, and we had a multi-million-dollar business, one of the fastest-growing companies in America, and only because, number one, we knew who our audience was. I knew who to ask. I wasn't just going to ask my boobie. I wasn't just going to ask my Zadie for it, right?
Boobie for the unemployed
grandmother.
That's like
grandma.
Number two, I understood my goal. I knew I wanted 100 customers. I wanted 30 customers. I wanted, before we start, 5 customers to pay me X. And number three, the third thing was I was willing to go out and test the idea before I went crazy. Mm-hmm. And once I tested the idea and I saw there was a market, then I built a budget. Then I launched my SEO strategy. Then I launched my search strategy, my social strategy. Then I went to trade shows. Then I hired a team of 75 people over 3-4 years and was able to do what we did and built an amazing digital marketing agency.
So it was basically a step-by-step process after you'd done your homework.
And I was willing to fail because I failed so many times in my life. As an entrepreneur, you're not going to succeed on your first idea, your second idea, your third idea. You got to keep iterating. Every single time you fall down, you have to get back up. That's the key when it comes to launching your idea, because the first iteration of your idea is never going to work.
Exactly.
Exactly.
How many times have you failed?
So how did you know when to pivot?
Wait a second. How did I know when I failed? Was the question on the floor. And the answer is when I ran out of money. But here's the...
You know when you're failing. You know when something's not working.
You have the feeling of failing.
Like, exactly.
I want to throw something at you. Your teacher in grade school and high school and your mother taught you every single thing that you need to know about getting ready to succeed. Your teacher said, your homework assignment for the day is... And you went, oh, crap, I don't want to do homework. And you get home and you're like futzing around and doing everything you possibly can other than your homework. But your mother said, Jeffrey, have you done your homework?
Well, she might not have called him homework. Jeffrey.
Yeah. Have you done your homework? And she only called me Jeffrey when it was really bad. So my teacher and my mom gave me the tools to understand success. My dad reinforced it. When he made big sales, I would say, wow, how'd you do that, Pop? He goes, I did my homework. And that was the motivator for me to be able to get from point A to point B, to take an idea to execution.
And part of doing your homework, part of doing your homework, part of preparing is number one, understanding who you're talking to, mm-hmm. because you have different language if you speak to one audience or a different audience. Mm-hmm. Number two is have a real goal, set a real goal. Like you asked, how do you know when to pivot? When you're not hitting your goals. When you set a specific goal, a financial goal, a certain goal for specific activities that you want to do, and you're just not hitting your goals, well, if you're not hitting the goals that you set, chances are it's time to pivot. It's time to change. Mm-hmm. It's not working. And number three is, test. Give it your best and put it out there. A lot of people are out there, they want to get rich quick. A lot of people just want to take the easy route, the approach that, you know what, life should be easier. If only I had a better education, or if only I had all the skills and the talents that everybody else has. You know what? It's a lot of work to be successful.
Exactly.
It's a lot of work.
But you can be an overnight success. You work your ass off for 20 years and then boom.
Boom.
You're an overnight success.
Okay, right. So Joe, you make it look really easy, but I'm sure that there were some struggles or obstacles along the way. Talk to us about some of the things that happened that you learned from so that our audience can learn as well.
And that you weren't expecting when they happened. They were like surprise happenings.
Completely surprised. So this past year, I finished writing a book called Average Joe to CEO, and I go through the 7 stages of success that I went through to go from Average Joe to CEO. And the first step is the beliefs that I had. And I saw my mother had certain beliefs in her store, and she couldn't get past the 7 figures. And every single time I talk to an entrepreneur or a professional that's stuck in their job and they can't get past it, I usually question what they believe. Mm-hmm. And chances are there are certain beliefs that you have right now and that everybody has that either are allowing us to succeed unbelievably or are holding us back to succeed. And one of the beliefs I talk about, entrepreneurs have 3 beliefs: luck, trust, and change. The first one is luck. they feel like they just need to get lucky in order to make it happen. If only I got lucky, or they invest too much in opportunity. They invest too much in the lotto. I recently asked my son, I said, what if you win the ticket? What if you win the lotto ticket? What are you going to do with all the money that you win? He's like, what do you mean? I'm going to buy more lotto tickets. I'm going to buy more tickets and more tickets and more tickets. Right. You know,
you're going to buy a million 10-cent pens and then squander the rest.
Exactly. And most people that win the lottery, they lose it. They lose it. 80% of the people lose the money within 3 years.
Dead
and the rest
broke.
Of the people
dead or broke.
Commit suicide.
There's a reason. They were not ready to win. Mm-hmm. These are people that have never seen $1,000. All of a sudden, they win $1,000,000, and they make statements like this. Well, I'm not going to quit my job. Like, seriously? You could buy the company and fire your boss. Like, moron. But they have these self-defeating beliefs, and when you look up unbelievable, that's the root word is believe.
Believe, yeah.
If you look at self-defeating belief, the root word is still belief, and you, whatever it is that you have, belief is certainly at your core.
So the key is, number one, is challenge your beliefs, question your beliefs, see what are the beliefs that you have that are not letting you move to success. Either you're not trusting people, you're not trusting yourself, you're not trusting the government, you're not trusting your competitors, there could be a trust issue you have, or you're not willing to change. A lot of times what worked yesterday, like, oh, but I made tons of money off Amazon. Well, Amazon might not last forever. You can't make money off Amazon forever because trends are going to change. eBay maybe used to work in that industry, but doesn't work anymore. What worked yesterday is not going to necessarily work today, and what's working today probably won't work tomorrow. So you have to be ready to change. You have to be ready to constantly change. And if you believe, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, really ask yourself, are you broke?
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Then there's a second stage, which is failures. I had some personal failures in my life that I write about in the book, mm-hmm. and I had to overcome those failures. And the third stage is work. You have to have a certain work ethic. You have to have a certain attitude. You have to realize that to build the right skills, to build that talent, is all about putting in the time, putting in the effort, putting in the energy, and having the experience in order for you to be able to add enough value to the world so that your idea will matter. Your idea won't matter if you don't work on it, if you don't sit there and do everything that you can. If every single day you're not giving it your best, you're not going to succeed. You have to ask yourself, or have an accountability partner ask you, did you do your best today?
Okay, so Joe, I know we have to wrap up right now, but where can people get a copy of your book?
So if you follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/Joe Appelbaum, or you check out my website.
Wait, how do you spell that?
It's J-O-E. If you Google it, it'll
J-O-E, auto-correct.
But,
Joe,
but they might say,
e?
They might do Appelbaum, not
yeah,
Appelbaum.
A-P-F-E-L-B-A-U-M. So if you just go to my website, joeappelbaum.com, or you follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on YouTube, I'm all over the place. I'm really easy to find. I'm featured on hundreds of podcasts. I'm doing videos all over the place. So check me out. Consume my information, sign up to the newsletter, and you're going to get information about when the book comes out.
And
oh,
how
cool.
to
we
win.
We can't wait. You know what? When the book comes out, can we give away
yes,
to a listener on the show?
Yes, that would cool. be so
okay,
much fun.
Okay, cool. That would be awesome.
A signed one. A signed copy.
It has to be signed.
Right, if it's not signed, we're sending it
yeah,
back.
Yeah, we're sending it back.
And remember, if you want to be successful, you have to follow success. That means follow Jeffrey's principles, buy his books, go to his seminars, do the thought leadership. And if you do that, if you read his books, if you go to his seminars, if you follow his success principles, if you realize that every penny he ever made, he can track back to the writing, to his passion, to the things that he loves, well, then you will get motivated! Woo!
Catch that?
I am so motivated that I think we should go immediately to Facebook Live and see who's rocking us right now and who wants to be motivated as well.
Okay, this is pretty cool, Jeffrey. We have someone here from Brazil, someone from Poland, someone
wow.
from Greensboro.
Anybody
this
from Jersey? Are you
probably.
From Jersey?
Amazing. Okay, but we also have two questions.
Shoot.
Holiday is forthcoming. Call me the first of the year. What to do? Everyone already on vacay. Help.
Who's that question from?
Larice White.
Thank you, Larice.
Thank you, Larice.
Larice, you babe, you. Happy Christmas, whatever you say, wherever you are. Where is she from?
It doesn't. Greensboro.
Greensboro, North Carolina?
I don't know, Jeffrey.
Okay,
it doesn't matter.
I don't
know. I'm sorry.
We gave you enough FaceTime. But here's the challenge. If somebody says they're on vacation, it's most likely that they just don't want to deal with you. Because I can promise you, if Brad Pitt called, are they going to say, I'm going on vacation, Brad? Everyone's on vacation, Brad. No, they're going to invite Brad in, carry him back on his shoulders, and you're going to have a deal. So the challenge is they're not wanting to talk to you at this moment, and maybe not even after vacation. So you have to find out why the delay.
Yeah.
You have to find out what are they going to do when vacation. Like, let's suppose this is January the 4th. Now what? Put them on the spot. That's what I would do.
Okay. Also, if you want meetings during this time of the year, the best thing to do is to book those meetings a few months in advance, like in September. Let's follow up on December 19th. I know it's going to be a busy time of the year for you, but let's get it solved then.
2 p.m.
Right.
Actually, what I used to do when I literally had customers that I had to sell, I would make appointments for 59. Like 159, 959. And that way it's memorable enough for them to write it down in their diary or their book.
I like that. I like that. You can also use
Google.
This time to take some of your best customers to lunch and, you know, build that relationship.
We have other ideas for that. But at the moment, let's go to another Facebooker.
All right. So Edward Wrong says, how do you overcome the I can't afford it right now, business is slow objection?
Business is slow.
I can't afford it right
Christmas?
Now or I can't afford it?
Ever. Usually when someone says they can't afford it, it means they can't afford it from you or they don't want it from you.
Or they don't want to afford it.
No, they want it. So what you're saying, Mr. Jones, is if it was free, you'd take it, correct? Somewhere between where I am and where free is, you would take it, correct? Let me know where that number is. Let's find out what this guy really can afford.
What can you afford?
And can he take it in terms? Is there a way that he can take it over a period of time? But I can't afford it means I don't really see the value. Because oftentimes you will go into a department store with a budget of $100 to buy a sweater, see a sweater for $300 that you totally love, and you will buy it.
Jeffrey, how did you know?
I took a guess, Jen.
All right. By the way, Dean Moriello says, I used to be from Jersey, just in case you're
wondering.
Okay,
cool.
All right. Thank you all for participating. We're here live. Come join
us.
This
is so cool. Facebook Live has revolutionized the way we think about what we're doing because we can actually talk to you live.
Yeah, all
moment.
You need to do is like go on Facebook, type in, you know, type your question in, say
we're
hi
doing
to us,
it every
tell
week,
us where you're
so
from.
So mark your calendar. Wednesday, although today is Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll just send
we'll
out some notifications
alerts.
When
we'll
they're going to be because we have a busy schedule.
It's Christmas right now.
And Edward says, thanks, Jeffrey and Jen from Pickering, Canada.
Whoa.
Cool, way to go. All right, so, Jeffrey.
So, what?
You're up next.
Well, this show is all about the aha, but I can't even get to the aha without a cup of coffee. And that's why we drink... Pardon my boarding house reach.
Look at this, Jeffrey. Look behind us. This is so cool.
Oh, my God. That's why we drink Det's Wish coffee. It is by far the best coffee on the planet. It is so strong that if you know, have you ever heard the expression stick a fork in it? Well, if you stick a spoon in it, it will stand up straight.
It's made from the strongest possible combination of perfectly roasted beans.
The secret recipe.
They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee. We drink it in the studio when we do the show. What's
we
the
drink
risk?
It at
no
home.
Bullshit
we
money
drink
back
it
guarantee.
At home.
Just
it's,
try it. If you don't like it, you send it back.
Exactly.
But you'll love it. Go
exactly.
Get your first bag of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
All right, now it's time for a reality check. Your idea has zero chance of succeeding if you don't have the right kind of attitude. So the challenge is, what kind of attitude are you bringing to this process? What kind of attitude, you may ask? Well, let's go to Jennifer and sales in a New York Minute for a little bit more on attitude.
Attitude. Your attitude affects everything you do and every accomplishment you achieve or don't achieve. Think about the five most successful people you know. How is their attitude? Think about Olympic athletes, entrepreneurs. How does their attitude, their self-talk affect their success and their outcomes? Now think about salespeople. When a successful salesperson loses a sale, they don't bring that bummed out attitude into the next sale. In life, there are negative aspects that can get in the way of your attitude, but only if you let them. Ever call a close friend or family member on the phone and they answer, "Hello," in a very sad, deep tone? Obviously, they're trying to tell you something without actually saying much of anything at all. Answer happy. Talk happy. Now think about how you respond. From an attitude perspective, what's the best way to respond to their tone? The answer is to ask a question that doesn't include the word why. Asking why makes people defensive, and it tends to breed an answer that's not the whole answer. Think about the times that you've been asked why, and why you didn't give a full answer, especially if it's a why coming from a parent, a sibling, a spouse, or a very close friend. While you can't control other people's unhappiness, you can control yours. And you can choose your attitude in a New York Minute.
Jen, that was amazing.
Thank you. That was
arguably your best New York Minute ever. And if you want more of Jen's New York Minutes, then go to salesinanyminute.com for more tips on attitude, sales, and much more from Jen Gluckow, the great Jen Gluckow. And what else is going on at Sales in a New York Minute, Jenny?
Well, you can find out more on my website, but for now, back to thank you, Jeffrey. For now, we're going to get back to the show because it's time for another guest, and you may remember her from an earlier episode on entrepreneurship where she discussed her awesome, just the best shoe brand on the planet and the perils and triumphs of starting a business.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie Kathleen of The Jibs Life.
She doesn't have a last name, by the way. She only has two first names.
No, that is her last name. Her first name is her last name.
I
love
that.
It. It's amazing.
I understand that.
All right. Natalie Kathleen of The Jibs Life joins us again, this time in the studio in Charlotte, to give her thoughts on an after aha.
Take a look.
What would you recommend for someone who has the aha, someone who has the idea or sees something that they're just totally passionate about? What do they do? What's the action?
Well, I mean, a saying, that sort of belief that I have that came up just in all of this, it's not build it, they will come. It's build it, tell everyone about it, ask for help, and then hug them and kiss them when they come in the door. And then they'll come back and they'll tell their friends about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
both
so,
their friends.
So you're talking about establishing relationships, long-term relationships with customers.
Yeah, yeah. And being appreciative. I think it's being, it's a little bit of a light bulb of, you can't just make, we have an amazing shoe. If it just sat there or we put it in a store and it wouldn't sell. It's not the shoe that's selling it. It's what we built around it. And it's about.
No, but having a great product helps. Come on.
It does.
Yes.
It's who you know and what you know behind it. It doesn't matter if you know the right people if you can't back yourself up on knowledge or a product.
But it's sold with your belief. You believe in your product so passionately that you're able to transfer that.
Yes.
So the aha is, I'm passionate about this, and I can transfer that belief.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It really is. I recently was just on in a huge networking event, and 4,000 people on a boat for a week. And one of kind of nuts. I think one of the biggest things I saw in all the speakers is a passion, and so different whatever area of business someone's taken into, from food delivery service to owning sports teams. It all ties to the smallest thing inside them that allows their passion to drive them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need that drive. Again, it doesn't have to be hard. It shouldn't be hard, but it does take time, and it takes you choosing things over other things.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that most of your customers are people who just found you online and go to your website, or are people who know you and have witnessed your energy and your passion and your heart and soul that's pouring into the shoe?
So it's funny because we're a year and a half in business, and We do a lot of different events. And so people come in to buy shoes and they come up to me and give me a hug. And I'm like, I go, where did I meet them from? Which place? Who do I know them from? And because it started with people that directly I knew. I mean, anyone makes an order, we look them up online. We see if we're Facebook friends, which of the co-founding partners or the team members know them. And if it's not them, then we email and say, hey, curious, how'd you hear about us? Which leads to a conversation. I think the intimacy that builds is why in reflection in the last couple of weeks with tons of holiday shops, these people are coming in and I'm like, I don't know who you are. But they all kind of feel like they know me. And so I think
it's more than a shoe. Mm-hmm. So like I have really cool shoes that aren't Jibs, but I don't feel an emotional connection to them like I do with Jibs. When I put on my Jibs, I think of Natalie.
Of course.
You know,
and then that sort of spread is like we get a lot of people. We're based in New York, so there's a lot of people that see them on the subway. And and I think, so if you were wearing them, I mean, we definitely know each other. But someone says, hey, I like your shoes. There's a story. So it's not just, them at Nordstrom's.
Yeah.
Right.
But did you know? And whether it's how they're made, where they're made, the things we're doing, all this sort of stuff, people feel like they want to share.
Yeah. So the lesson for someone starting their business is being able to create that emotional connection.
And be able to articulate your story.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the passion of belief behind the product. You have an articulate story, and you're able to present it with that confidence, and that is transferable to the other person, and they get it, and they go, all right, I'll take a pair.
And I like the word confidence.
Or two, or three.
Yeah, we get a lot of that. I like the word confidence because confidence also doesn't mean like, oh my God, we have the perfect product. I mean, we do call it the perfect shoe, but people like to know that. We call it the perfect shoe. And you know, when you tell us that, hey, this is something a little bit could be better, we listen to you because we are going to position as perfect because who doesn't want to buy perfect?
Okay, so but the people who are watching evolving. Want to see the shoe, Natalie.
Oh.
Show the shoe. Can you show your shoe? I'm not wearing them today.
I'm not wearing mine either.
What?
Yes,
I am. So that's one style.
This is our newest style. So we're constantly working with the factory. I mean, one of the other things that it literally goes, the same ethos we have with the end customer goes to the factory. Zachy and I've over the last months, we've moved from like WhatsApp is how we dealt with the factory to Slack.
Oh, yeah. Boom.
Oh,
there we go.
Let me give you the Nordstrom look of the shoe.
Oh, don't charge me extra for that, Skill.
But you can't buy them there.
No, I'm just going to say this. They're cool, they're comfortable, and they're affordable. Cool, comfortable, affordable. And they look great. And people will go, wow, that's a
look
cool.
Look great isn't a C word.
Pardon?
Cool, comfortable,
cool, comfortable,
oh,
and kind of affordable.
All right, Natalie is amazing, and she has built an amazing business from just aha. So thanks again to Natalie for joining us here in Charlotte. You can learn more about her and her business at thejibslife.com. But I seriously recommend
go back on this particular podcast, watch Joe, watch Natalie, and then relate that to your idea that you haven't taken action on yet. This is very powerful. What the information you've been given tonight has been real world of people that have ideas or what to do with ideas, because every one of you has had one. I got to do this. I want to do this. Someday is not a day of the week. Let's make it Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I think really our best shot right now, let's go back to Facebook. These people are going crazy.
Before we do, I just wanted to say on the starting your own business from AHA, you can check out your competition at Owler. Jeffrey, do you get Owler alerts?
I get Owler. I love Owler.
Like they sent me
I get
t-shirt.
It every morning.
This
it makes
so
me smarter.
Cool. Where's your t-shirt?
Owler makes me smarter. You have no idea how much smarter it makes
Owler
me.
Owler makes me smarter,
I used to be
too.
A dumb idiot until I subscribed to Owler. Now I have a competitive advantage.
Hey, let's wear these in the airport tomorrow.
Okay, cooler.
Okay.
Cooler. Not only does Owler make me smarter about who I compete against, but it gives me insight to who I do business with.
Exactly.
And who they do business with.
Yeah. If you're not on Owler, what are you waiting for? Sign up now.
Okay. Go to Facebook.
So let's go to Facebook. We have
time for one more.
We have Carlo El Pena, who says hello from WDW. I'm trying to figure out what that is. Maybe it's Walt Disney World.
I don't know either.
Okay, but hi, Carlo. We have Frank, who asked, what was the name of Joe's book? It's not out yet. It's coming out soon, but it's from Average Joe to CEO. Follow him. Google, find him on Facebook. And I'm sure he'll promote his book. We'll help him too.
Exactly.
Dean Moriello says, Jeffrey, I know your take on bids, but if you are in a bid situation, do you prefer to be the first in the door or the last in the door?
Sometimes you have no choice. If I have a choice, I want to be last. I want to be able to at least give my version of what the person should do beyond a price. The second thing is, whenever you come in, say, listen, I don't know how you judge this, but most people take the lowest price. I'm going to challenge you that there are five questions you need to ask every single vendor who is going to bid on this to make certain that you're making the best decision for what's in the best interest of your company. So I'm going to give you those five questions, ask them at everyone, write down the answers, bring me in at the end, and we'll review those answers. If I'm your best guy, I'm going to tell you, but if I'm not your best guy, I'll tell you that too. Fair enough?
I like that. Some people want to go first because they're afraid that by the end, the company will have already made their decision. In my opinion, if that's you, then you're not confident enough to think that you have a superior offering and that you can win.
They've heard the best. Oh, they've heard all the others. Now they're about to hear the rest. And we're out of here, by the way. It's a game time for us. We have to go.
It's totally game time.
So I want to thank everybody for listening in. I know that you can find us anywhere you want, especially on Sell or Die. If you do a Google search, you'll find us. I am Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell.
And I'm Jen Gluckow. Thanks so much to our guests, Joe Applebaum and Natalie Kathleen. Our producer is Doug Branson, and our technical director is Chris Hill. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. Get out there and sell, even if your ass falls off, and happy holiday season, whatever holiday you celebrate.